Thank you, Joseph, for that beautiful prayer. Tonight, as we begin a study, I have a brother upstairs will show an old sheet chart that I have, but that will be later on in the lesson. And I hope by what I've selected to say tonight will be of help. You may wonder why I'm here and not Brother Steve. Well, Steve was somewhat caught in a strait betwixt in Texas and didn't think he would be able to leave and be here tonight. So he called the elders and Brother Larry called me. And Steve was able to make it here and we're thankful for that. And he asked me to just go ahead and proceed with the class. So I'll do my best. Maybe by what I say tonight that it would be something that we can help our youth to understand and to avoid the use of. And as we talk about the lesson, it is really, I entitled it, and I will not apologize for it, it is the sin of tobacco. And when I say that, I know it might raise eyebrows with some people, and I don't think anybody's a third-rate citizen in the church. And you may say, well, he's already got me riled up, and I don't know if I'm even going to listen to him or not. Believe me, I know, because through the years when I preach this and I preach this old sheet chart, I've been threatened more than once to be taken behind the building and just been beaten to a pulp. I've been fired in the middle of a school year. I've been called names. I've had people just to burst into my office and wanted to fight the next day. But I hope that you'll just give what I say tonight due consideration and weigh it carefully. And when I'm through, believe me, you'll still be my brother, you'll be my sister. I just hope you'll weigh what God said very carefully. You remember several years ago when you tried to come into the church building or between the Bible class and worship, you couldn't hardly get to the front door because of the smoke and the spitting and the chewing and the smoking. How awful that was. And it really was not a good sign or a good influence or a good name for the church, to say the least. And as I said a while ago, I'm not accusing anybody of being a second or third-rate citizen. Somebody may ask, well, Ken, what do you mean, the sin of tobacco? Because I've never heard that. Well, through the years, a lot of people have refused to even talk about it or mention it because they're afraid that either they'll be fired or they'll hurt some feelings. And that's not the case at all, or it should not be the case. Somebody says, well, where does the Bible say it is a sin? That's going to come up in this lesson. Well, we'll answer that. The Bible is clear on this. But where in the Bible does it say it's wrong to use dope? Can somebody give me the scripture? Where in the Bible does it say it's wrong to drink beer? Where in the Bible does it say it's wrong to take or snort heroin? Where in the Bible does it say that you cannot scald babies and mistreat them as some do? Where does the Bible say you can't do that? Where does the Bible say it's wrong? And I apologize for saying this, because I've told you before, I'm embarrassed to even say the word. I know I'm old-fashioned and I live in another time. But this so-called sex change, now where in the Bible does it say that's wrong? Where in the Bible can you point and tell me it says it's wrong? We'll name some scriptures in a little bit to show some things. What about our teenagers or older people that sniff glue? Where in the Bible say thou shalt not sniff glue? We understand how the Bible teaches. Why does a doctor, for an example, if Phyllis goes to the doctor and the doctor says, well, do you smoke? Do you drink? They want to know these things because it makes a difference. If tobacco were invented today, it would be illegal. I can assure you of that. Whatever harms the body, here's a syllogism, and I want you to listen carefully, please. Whatever, number one, harms the body, which is God's temple, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, is sin. Number two, tobacco harms the body, the temple of God. No one can deny that. Number three, the conclusion, therefore, the use of tobacco is sin. You could not argue that syllogism away if you were paid $1 million every day for the next 10 years. The first point is correct. The second point is correct. Therefore, the third point the conclusion is correct. 1/4 of all smokers, as we'll see in a minute, to 1/5 make up all the deaths that we have. As a matter of fact, somebody says, well, I don't use that kind of tobacco, but I do use smokeless tobacco. I use Red Man, or in my day it was Bull of the Woods or Bloodhound. Some of you might remember that. Well, did you know that 1/4 ounce of smokeless tobacco equals to 3 cigarettes, the nicotine contained in 3 cigarettes into your bloodstream? Not only that, but 1 can of Skoal or whatever equals to 4 packs of cigarettes as far as the nicotine is concerned. The damage that it caused, with the time that we have left, we'll mention some of these things, but I want to get to the sheet chart, but I want to give these stats and these facts as we begin. You know, folks don't like and folks don't want to hear what goes against the grain and what upsets them. I have preached sermons on the sin of obesity, and you just wouldn't believe some of the reaction I've had about that. You would not believe. I've had people get so mad at me that were my friends that wouldn't even speak to me. But I always start off by saying, even a skinny fellow like me can be guilty of obesity. I have been threatened. I have been just, you know, excommunicated. I have been blackballed because I preached what the Bible says about obesity, and it mentions that. On October the 5th of 1986, we had moved to Dresden, Tennessee in August. We'd been in Jasper for years and years and years, and I went to a congregation in West Tennessee. The night I was talking to the elder on the phone, and I asked him over the phone, what did he and the other elder do for a living? What did they do as a profession or occupation? And there was a bad storm, and my phone just crackled and cracked. Well, I never got an answer to that question. So when we went up there to so-called try out, whatever that means, and they took us out to eat for lunch that Sunday, I asked both of them what they did. One said he was an accountant, and the other said that he raised sweet potatoes. Well, we moved there in August, and I found out the next week that one had a tobacco farm. Well, I preached this lesson on October the 5th, 1986. And you guessed what happened, or you can guess. I didn't stay there long. I was gone. 13 people openly repented of the use of tobacco. But that didn't matter. Because, see, he had to give a deposition later on in court because the same man tried to sue the church. And he was making $2 million a year on his tobacco business. Alcohol this year will kill 150,000 people. Obesity will kill 300,000 people. Drugs, heroin, so forth, will kill 35,000 people. Secondhand smoke will kill some 75,000 people. Abortion will kill 4,000 babies a day. And tobacco this year will kill almost 600,000 people. That is a fact. Smokeless, those who use smokeless tobacco, it will cost the lives of 25,000 this year. 25,000. It is strange to me that in our society we can have a few grapes or some Tylenol or Bluebell ice cream and they'll take the whole mess off of the whole products off of the shelves and, you know, almost destroy companies. You remember a few years ago they found a few grapes from Chile that were tainted. They found some Tylenol bottles, a handful. And then here lately, Bluebell ice cream. But it didn't take them long just to get rid of those products. Did you know that tobacco, the number of people that die every day because of tobacco, equals to 2 jumbo jets full of people crashing every day? If 2 jumbo jets crashed every day, we'd be doing something about it. You know, when we talk about our society, we're proud of our country. But you know that more Colombians would die because of American cigarettes than Americans would die because of Colombian dope? Did you know that? That's a fact. Listen, why is it that Kentucky has the highest rate of cancer that's caused by tobacco? Why do you think Kentucky has the highest rate? because of what they raise up there, because of the numbers of acreage of raising tobacco. What state do you think has the lowest death because of tobacco? That would be Utah. Do you know why? You know why. The Mormons refuse to touch the stuff. They won't use tobacco. You can take tobacco, whether it's been chewed, spit out, smoked on, or whatever, or a whole new pack, and you can lay it out in the woods on a stump, and you go back tomorrow and no varmint's going to touch it. I can assure you there's not a varmint in the woods that's going to, even a skunk won't touch it. He'll have nothing to do with it. The tobacco industry needs 5,000 new smokers a day for those who either die or quit smoking. 5,000 a day. King James wrote a pamphlet between 1604 and 1620 when he ruled against the evils and the wrongs and the harm of tobacco 500 years ago. And then in 1773, another article was printed by Britain on the damage and the harm and the senseless death of tobacco. My daddy smoked, he told me, he started when he was 9 years old. My daddy smoked 60 years. And as some of you may have, I figured that out. He smoked Old Camels. I knew how many packs a day he smoked and how long he'd been smoking them. He spent $55,000. Now, this is when there was about a quarter of a pack now in his lifetime. And he smoked a cigarette 60 miles long in his life. That, to me, is just useless. Tobacco causes 20% of all deaths. All deaths. Which one of us in here tonight, you may say, well, I use Skoal, or I use Red Man, or I smoke cigars, or I use old Picayune cigarettes, or whatever. How many of you, if Jesus were alive today, how many of you would offer Jesus a cigarette? How many of you would pull out a can of Skoal and offer it to our Lord? Not only that, if you were doing personal work, here's Steve down there in his good work. Here you are doing personal work and you knock on the door and you got a Virginia Slim hanging out of your mouth, you know. I want to invite you to the revival here at Bethel Church of Christ. You know how many people's going to come? One of the saddest things I know, down in Central Alabama, a very good friend of mine, as we'll talk in a minute when we get to the sheet, a good friend of mine, he gets up to preach, and when he teaches, you can see that old skull in his back pocket. He's proud of it. Oh, he's invited me to speak, revivals and all, where he preaches, the elders have. And when I preach on this, he'll say, well, that's just, you and I just don't see it alike, do we, Brother Ken? And you think about this. In 1953, there was a special on TV, and it shows through these reporters on ABC that they knew in 1953 that tobacco killed and it caused cancer. Then shortly thereafter, they made a safe cigarette and the tobacco industry took it off the market. You remember Wayne McLaren, the Marlboro man? You remember when they used to advertise cigarettes on TV? And he was the Marlboro man on that horse, that good-looking fellow, you know, that cowboy. Of course, he died of lung cancer. And he was on TV before his death, and this is what he said, not Ken Butterworth. This is what Wayne McLaren said, the Marlboro man. He said, anyone with an IQ of a hamster knows better than to use tobacco. He said, number two, I apologize for helping kill people. He said, I am so sorry. You remember the Lucky Strike lady that used to advertise, Janet Satman, beautiful model, you know? She's still living now, but she's a shell. She can barely talk, and she needs help talking, you know, with a piece of machinery. And she warns people about the dangers of it. You have to give her credit. R.J. Reynolds' executive said this. If you have any doubt, listen to what this R.J. Reynolds' executive said. He said, quote, we don't smoke the blank. We just sell it to the young, the poor, the black, and the stupid. Now, that's an executive from this tobacco company. Gene Tunney, some of you my age or older might remember Gene Tunney, the world champion boxer. He told Joe Louis after he had been retired, Gene had been retired 15 years. He said, Joe, I tell you what I'll do. He said, if you'll start smoking and smoke a pack of cigarette for 6 months, I'll fight you again and I'll beat your brains out, and you know I will. Because he said, you won't last two rounds. He knew what he was talking about. When we talk about these things, I know a man, well, I'll just tell you who it was. It was my oldest son who died recently. When he was 16 years old, the first night, the first day he got his driver's license, the first night on that date, Friday night, he went out. Coming home late, I say late, he had to be home at 11 o'clock. He reached down to pick up a hamburger, he had got at Burger King, and he ran off the road and he centered a tree and beat it. Just crushed his face. He lost his smell, he lost his taste. He never could taste or smell anything as long as he lived. But he was hooked on Skoal. It's not the smell, it's not the taste. It's what enslaves one. A good friend of mine in Birmingham, Alabama, I'll tell you who it is. Her name is Elizabeth Brown, and she won't mind me even mentioning her name. I preached this lesson at Hillview in Birmingham back in the 80s, late 80s. She told me it was Wednesday night, she said, Ken, I'm going to tell you. She said, you made me so mad. She said, I told my husband I would never darken the doors of that building again. She said, I was mad at you. She said, I was furious. She said, until about an hour before services, and I got to thinking. She said, Elizabeth, are you a fool? She said, you know Ken was right. Not only that, but I have a good friend. He was preaching in Blackwater, in Jasper. Phyllis probably knows where that's at. And he preached a sermon against tobacco. And as a man was going out in the foyer, he wasn't outside, he lit up a cigarette and blew it in the preacher's face. I've had people to hand me cigarettes going out. I had a man to call me in Birmingham. He said, Ken, I need to talk to you. He said, last week, he said, I thought about what you said. He said, I went to the doctor because I got up that morning, and he said, all I could do was cough, and I started coughing up blood, and I went to the doctor, and he said, I have cancer. I have 3 months to live. My wife's uncle and a good friend of mine in Tennessee have begged people. They said they'd drive anywhere in the United States. They're in wheelchairs. They're on oxygen. Said, just let me talk to your kinfolks. Let me talk to your babies. Let me talk to your grandchildren. Say, this is what you're going to come to. They know what they're talking about. On Johnny Carson one night, it showed a man down in the waters, and he took a spear gun and he aimed and pulled the trigger at a shark. Shark died just like that, instantly. And they said, Johnny said, what did you have as far as poison or what medication? He said, I had nicotine in it. He said, that's all it takes. I believe tobacco industry is the biggest dope dealers in America. I really do. Let me read this, and then I'm going to ask the brother, if we would, to put the sheet up. I hope you can see at least part of it. I found this, and I kept it. I'm not trying to taunt anybody or make fun of anybody. My heart is good, my heart is right, my heart is honest. I'm concerned about people. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, Opal Meadows, sweet, godly lady. People talk about their mother-in-laws. I wish you had a mother-in-law as good as mine. Of course, she died a horrible death. She called me a little before that. She said, Ken, I want to ask you a question. She said, my son, that was Biz Sue's brother, told me that it's wrong to smoke. I want to hear from you. I know you'll tell me the truth. I said, Miss Opal, it is. She said, that's all I want to know. But of course, you waited too late. You ought to smoke. This was written by an Indian chief, and he read it to his braves all 50, 75, 80 years ago. He said, the odor will repel bad dogs, flies, mosquitoes, and skunks. The squaw will have to do all the work, for you braves will be short of breath. You won't have to worry about old age or confinement to the teepee or to the reservation. If you smoke, you will die before you get old. If you smoke, you'll have the luxury of saving the expense of buying, keeping, and feeding the watchdog. You'll be coughing all night, and prowlers will be frightened away, thinking you are awake. Now, that was an actuality. And this Indian chief knew, told his braves, this is what's going to happen. if you indulge yourself in such a habit. What I like to do now, having said that, and let me rest assure you that I say these things out of concern. I say these things because of folks in my family. I say these things because of what I've had to watch, and so have you, because people who are so enslaved and so hooked on tobacco. Remember the syllogism that we gave based on 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. Whatever harms your body is sin. Tobacco harms your body, therefore tobacco is a sin. Now you tell me before you leave the building tonight where I missed that and where I'm wrong. I don't think anyone can deny that syllogism. Now let's look for a few minutes at some things that I hope will be of help if you can make out on the old sheet chart here. It is old. Believe me, it is. I know it's on both sides, and I'll try to do my best to point out some things, but what we're going to have is at the top on First Corinthians, I think. I think my battery's about gone, so I won't. You'll notice around the picture at the top, the lady who is smoking. I always show when I'm in an auditorium that can see, I've kept a file of pictures of what the tobacco industry will tell you what you'll look like if you smoke. It's always this beautiful woman in an evening dress. It's always this beautiful woman, you know, in a bikini somewhere, or this handsome man, you know, that's really built, you know, with his swimming trunks on, drinking a beer, and has a cigarette in his hand. But I assure you, this right here is a real picture. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. But more so than that, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. The Bible says, whatever ye do, whatever ye eat, whatever ye drink, do to the glory of God. Now, understand that one verse. Whatever you drink, whatever you eat, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And this will help here a little bit. 3 John verse 2, John prayed. He says, I pray that your body and soul will be in good health. In Romans 12 verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible says that we should offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our spiritual or reasonable service. Now, how can you offer your body as a sacrifice if it's laden with sin and cancer and all sorts of disease? One cigarette, one jawful of smokeless tobacco, one cigar raises your heart rate. It raises your blood pressure. It reduces your body temperature and your fingers and your toes. I believe one of the greatest examples of what I call child abuse is to see a mama or a daddy strap that child in a car seat and then light up a cigarette. Do you know that when a parent smokes, that when they go to the doctor, they detect nicotine in the child's urine? Now, what does that tell us? My mother died a horrible death of lung cancer. She never smoked a day in her life, but she had to breathe 3 packs of Campbell's every day for 60 years. Yes, I'm against it. I'm totally against it. Oh, these people in West Tennessee firing me for preaching against, that doesn't bother me at all. I mean, I'm on the Lord's side, and the Lord takes care of His own. I believe that. Isaiah 49, verse 16. Not only that, but on this side, the young man, and most smokers start in their early teens. Proverbs 22, verse 6, the Bible says, train up the child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart therein. What kind of example are we leaving our children? What kind? The only time I ever tried a cigarette. The only time in my life, I was 9 years old, and my grandmother smoked Kools. And when she died, Daddy put the old, what was left of that carton of cigarettes in our old shift robe. And when I was about 9, I snuck in there one day and I got me a cool cigarette. Went down to the woods and I lit it up. And that's the last time I've had one in my mouth. In Romans 14, verse 21, the Bible says, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, make sure it doesn't cause your brother to stumble. Paul says, I'll not eat, I'll not drink anything to cause my brother to stumble. Then he says in chapter 14 in verse 23 of Romans, he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We should be one that lets our light shine before men. And brethren, we cannot use this product and let our light shine. It's always a negative impact on whomever we are around. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. The Bible says here, Solomon speaking and talking to the young people as Jimmy has taught and done an outstanding job. Solomon tells his child, he tells his offspring, he says, look, you go ahead, whatever your eye sees and whatever your heart desires, and you go ahead and do it. God says, you're going to do it anyway, but know this, I'm going to bring you into judgment. What a sobering thought. My question is, who are you serving? King Jesus, or are you serving King Tobacco? Which one is it? I had some more. I have another chart along this line where I've got a man bowing down before a cigarette. And that is a true depiction, I believe, of the addiction of this. We've already mentioned about Wayne McLaren, the Marlboro man, but right here, my friend, I hope you'll understand in all seriousness, this is real Marlboro country here. This is it. This is a real Marlboro country. You remember when they came out, when some of us were growing up, the flip-top box, you know, it's kind of a hard little box that had cigarettes in it. They called it the flip-top box. Right here is the original flip-top box. I can assure you of that. 1,000 people a day die because of the use of it. The Bible says in Acts 16, in verse 27, you'll notice, Paul speaking, and he told the jailer, do thyself no harm. How can you say, do thyself no harm? How could this sweet lady here, how could her husband say, do thyself no harm? And then when the use of tobacco is involved, not only that, but in Leviticus 19, verse 27 and 28, and Deuteronomy 14, in verse 1 and 2, these things written for our learning, our admonition, Romans 15, verse 4. The Bible says here, God was talking to the people to keep themselves separate from those of the land, and He said, respect your body. He said, watch how you cut your hair, watch how you trim your beard. And He says, don't put any marks on your bodies, and don't you make any cuts on your body. And we all know what that would involve. And He told them why. He says, you've got to be different from those about you. That was addressed to be worldly. That was addressed with no respect to the body. And also because of idolatry. I don't know why it is we can't understand that these precepts are valuable. The Old Testament is not our rule of faith and practice, but it is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And all these examples are for our good. Should we not respect our bodies? When my mother and daddy both are dead, and believe me, nobody ever loved their mama any more than I did. I know some of you loved yours much, but not yours, but not any more than I did. I was a mama's boy. But when my mother was in Brookwood Hospital, lying there, breathing her last and dying, that was back when you could smoke in hospitals, my daddy pulled his Camels out and was going to light up a cigarette. And before I could tell him, the nurse says, you get out of here. And I thanked her for that. My friend, we need to take care of our bodies and respect a lot of things, including others. Let's hurry now. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Paul lists 15 sins. And then at the last, he says, and such like. And such like. And he lists the different sins about harming others, harming your bodies, and doing wrong and not doing right and so forth. Well, this is where it comes in. This is where we can see somebody like that Bruce Jenner. He needs to be locked up in some institution. That's where he needs to be. But where is it wrong for him to do that? And such like? When he stands before God, he's going to be a man. I don't care what he says or what he does, how he dresses. He's going to be a man. I don't want to get started on this because you all feel like I do, I know. Because I believe homosexuality is as stinking and rotten as hell and as evil as Satan itself. I really believe that. I know that's true. But as we look at our lesson now, and such like, tobacco is a nicotine, it is a drug, and the AMA lists it as a poison. A poison. Not only that, but as we look at these charts and these lessons that we want to present, it is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14, verse 23. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul told Timothy, be thou an example, you know, to those that believe. Can you be an example to your children? Can you be an example to others by using tobacco? When the world will tell you that it's harmful, it will cause disease, it's not pretty, to me, you know, God, when He made the female, He made one more beautiful creature. And you can dress up and fix up and put on nice clothes, and all of a sudden the same woman would pull out a cigarette and smoke it and ruin everything. It's no worse for her than a man, don't get me wrong. But when Paul says, be that example, you know, the Bible speaks of Timothy's youth. And have you noticed that what we've done, a lot of times we talk about Timothy to our young people and we leave the impression with them that he was a very young man, maybe a teenager, an older teenager. That's not true. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy was written in 67 and 68. Go back to Acts 16, when Timothy was traveling with Paul, he was a young man then. And that was 16 to 18 years later. Timothy is a man. He's 35 to 40 years of age. But yet this is what Paul told him, be an example. And he says, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love Romans 13, 13, where it says, let us walk becomingly. Becomingly. That word means to have an attractive effect, to have Christian character. That's what it means. Another one we'll use is Romans 14, verse 7. No one liveth to himself and no one dieth to himself. Well, it's none of your business what I do. I thank the good Lord that they have stopped this smoking in restaurants. Used to in Cracker Barrel, you had to go through the smoking section to get to the non-smoking section. I never understood that. But I'm thankful now that has been stopped. I mind for my health. Because this year, 75,000 people are going to die who don't smoke because they breathe the stuff. And then in 2 Peter 2, verse 19, whatever, he says, whatever brings you into bondage, you are a slave thereof. Why was it, my son, which I was glad later on he saw the light, as it were. Why was it he was hooked and he was addicted and he was a slave? He couldn't go anywhere without that stuff in his mouth. Why was that? Because he had become slave to it. Not only that, but the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 6, he says that we should not cause one of the little ones who believe in Christ to stumble. It's offensive to Christian people. Well, it's nobody's business what I do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I have to consider my brethren. I have to consider these elders and you and my wife and my family. I don't live by myself and to myself. It may be right for me to do a lot of things, but if it's going to cause others to stumble, not understand, I'm not going to do them. That's what Paul was saying. And then we have this. Where in the Bible does it say, as we mentioned a while ago, thou shalt not sniff glue? Let me give an example. On this one right here, suppose now, since you've known me since last September, and I don't know in here if anybody even uses tobacco. I have no idea. And I don't really want to know. But since you've known me, what would you have thought the first day I come in this building? I think Tim was the first one that I really talked to. That might have been bad or good, but I did. But he left an impression with me. He did. But what if I kept a pocket full of dried pinto beans or butter beans in my pocket all the time? And every time you saw me, I was just sticking one up my nose. Or you look around, I was sticking one in my ear. I'd reach in there and Jimmy would be preaching, you know, and Kenny would be leading the singing, and I'd just be packing beans in my nose. What would you think? What would you think? Well, can you tell me what is the difference in me packing my nose and ears full of beans and someone with a wad of tobacco in their mouth? I don't see any difference at all. And then, where does the Bible say you can't use cocaine? See this hair all here? When my daddy was farming out on Highway 78 between Oxford and Heflin, there was a little store there, and right across from it was a little, what I call drive-by little motel. And there was a man they found one morning in that little motel, a businessman. A suitcase full of money. I don't know where he got it. I have no idea. But they found 25 empty bottles of Vitalis in his room. He was drinking Vitalis, you know, that hair, you know, some of the young people don't know what that is, but it's like Brill cream, a little dab of do you, well, Vitalis, you know, you could make that hair slick back and stay. 20-something bottles. But where does the Bible say you can't drink hair oil? Not only that, but then we'll know people now who try to use some type of cleaner to sniff or breathe to get high. We all know that. Keep thyself pure. Abstain from every appearance of evil. And then let me suggest this one. Habakkuk 2 and verse 10 says, do not sin against thy own soul. Then read verse 15. Habakkuk says, woe unto you that giveth his neighbor drink. Then he goes on to tell us why. Because he says, you add to his addiction. When I was in my 20s, mother and daddy run a little country store down there in McIntosh Road in Talladega County. And when I would keep the store when mother got sick for daddy, I would not sell people cigarettes or tobacco. I wouldn't do it. And they'd ask for them. I said, no, sir, you're going to have to go to Oxford to get them. They said, well, it's right there. I said, I know, but I'm not going to sell them to you. I said, in good conscience, I can't do that. Not only that, but Habakkuk 2 and verse 15, as we said, James 4 verse 3, beginning. The Bible says, well, tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow I'll quit. Tomorrow I'll plan to do this. And he says, your life's like a vapor. There's no promise of tomorrow. Let me close with these now. Somebody says, well, okay, Ken, what about coffee and tea? We're not talking about coffee and tea. It's like Peter when Jesus was talking to him in the book of Matthew. And Peter says, well, John says, well, what about Peter, Lord? You told me what's going to happen to me. Well, what about John? The Lord said, we're not talking about John right now. Right now we're talking about you. We'll talk about John later. That's paraphrasing, but that's what Jesus told him. Where's the proof that coffee and tea causes death or causes cancer? If that's true, I'll never drink any more tea as long as I live. Somebody says, well, we got to die one day. I hear that all the time. But why do you want to bring it on? Why are you making it such a hurried thing? Why bring it on quicker? Then, well, you don't want me to have any fun, do you, Ken? Well, I don't see it fun. Laying in a hospital somewhere with treatments and your lungs gone, you got a hole in your throat trying to breathe, and I've known of cases, and you probably have too, where people have got a cigarette stuck in that hole for them to get oxygen to survive. And then somebody said, well, it's my life. I'll do what I want. But you don't live by yourself. You are affecting others. And if you're a Christian, think about your influence before heaven and the church and people of the community. Well, I just don't believe it's wrong. Well, when we're through tonight, some of you may go out and say, I still don't believe it's wrong. Think about the syllogism. Think about the scriptures. Think about the deaths and the effects and the influence, the bad influence that goes along with this. Somebody says, well, I don't smoke cigarettes, but I do dip and I smoke cigars, so I don't fit into that category. It's the same thing. We don't have time to give some stats about those, as I would wish. And then this one here, I don't say I love, but I will say this. It's been used more than once. Well, I know of preachers who smoked. I know of preachers who dipped. So? I know of preachers that committed fornication. I know of preachers that hooked on pornography. I know preachers that murdered his wife. More than one. or had somebody to murder his wife while he was meeting with the elders. That doesn't prove anything. Brother Shepherd Tubbs down there in Blackwater in Jasper, Alabama, where I preached a number of years, when he was put up to be an elder, there was objections because he used tobacco. When he was called in, we had a meeting, and he said, if that's the only thing that's keeping me from being an elder, I'll never use that stuff again. And he did not. He had a right heart. I know our time is getting close to we've got to stop. And whatever I've tried to say tonight, and maybe in an unorthodox, awkward manner, but I've just tried to say, let's think about this. Let's think about not only self, but the family, but the church, heaven. Think about our influence. Think of the cost. Think of the smell. And think of, you know, when we, what are we doing to our bodies, that temple that God gave us? Whatever harms that body is sin, Paul says. Who in here now, please tell me before you leave, and you're not going to be my enemy, and I'm not going to be mad at you. I want you to tell me that tobacco doesn't harm your body when you leave here and give me some proof. But if it harms the body, and whatever harms the body is sin, therefore this stuff is sin. I believe that. I'm not trying to be unrealistic, unkind. I'm not trying to force something on you that you don't want to believe or that you've already rejected. Just think about it. Think about heaven. Think about God. Think about the church. Think about what the Bible teaches. Think about your influence. And think about what's ahead in the future. Anyone have any questions or any comments before other classes? I know I intended to stop before now, but I thank the elders for allowing me to stand before you tonight. I know I was looking forward to Steve's report, and I know you were. I hope the lesson will be of help. I'm asking you, I'm begging you to think about it. Do what, Joe? I hope not. Our good old blow gum is what we used to call it. And it's bubble gum now, but when we was growing up, it was blow gum. I appreciate you bearing with me tonight. Thank you.